Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872911.
Well, 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 I was really surprised picking up the Cairns Post, going to the opinion page, Saturday's Cairns Post, page 43, the opinion page. And the heading reads, "Here's what you can do if you think cash is king." And that's fundamentally the message that was transmitted by a whole lot of people. You might remember one Frankie Hogan. Now, a lady came on the program and said, "Oh, I went down to the tip and I had to put a mattress in the tip. And when I got there and said, I'm going to put the mattress in the tip and here's the cash to pay for it," the attendant said, "No, turn around, out of here, because we don't accept cash anymore." "Since when?" "Since whatever, a week ago, whatever, the council's banned cash. It's got to be. Give me your card. If you haven't got the card, turn around and go." Fundamentally, that was the experience it got to wear. And, of course, Frankie Hogan, it's history now. "The power of one," Frankie said. "How dare this council, without even approaching us for permission, ban cash because so many people still rely on cash or whatever." But it hadn't even been put out to the general public. We was ambushed. That's what we was. Anyway, Frankie, to her great credit, put the word out there, and she put the sheets of paper in various shops. I think the one here on the corner of Grafton Street and Spence Street particularly was very popular, and people just signed it in their hundreds and hundreds. Then she said, "No, let's go to the council chambers." So they all turned up at the council chambers and up there in the galleries, and they said to the councillors, "Pull your heads in. Reverse this decision. We're the people here that have to put up with your silly decisions, and how dare you not come to us for permission." It was just remarkable. We've been celebrating the win by Frankie Hogan ever since in this town. And other people, other communities have followed suit. Frankie's renowned across the country. But I picked up this Kent's Post on Saturday, and guess who? This is Paul Williams. "Politicians," he said, "often say they don't want to live in a resource-rich nation like Australia if we can't or won't make things. Australia's retreat from the car industry is a case in point." But he said, "I'll go one further. I don't want to live in a country where cash," then I mean a hard currency of banknotes and coins, "no longer exists to buy those things." He says this, way back in 1890, business author George McLean told us, "Cash is king." Gee, it goes back that far. While he was referring primarily to the dangers of credit, his aphorism is just as relevant today. "Cash still opens doors," says Paul Williams. Who would have thought, for example, that banks would get out of the cash business? Yet that's precisely what one Australian bank is planning before year's end. "And then how long before the others follow?" says Paul. He says, "We've also seen many a business become cashless because owners say, oh, it's what the customers want." God, they got to hide, haven't they? Anyway, Paul writes, "Really? Well, not this customer." And I tell you what, not a lot of customers listening to this program at the moment also. I've got Paul on the line, actually, to tell us what's really getting under his skin with this particular matter. Dr. Paul Williams, Associate Professor, Politics and Journalism, Griffith University. Paul, good morning.
G'day, John. How are you?
Did you hear the story of our hero, Frankie Hogan?
I heard your intro. I hadn't heard that story until you just read it out. But, you know, I have heard similar stories, which provoked me to write the column.
Excellent.
You know, we've been talking about cash a lot in recent days, weeks and months, are going cashless, and that's alarmed me. And as I said in the piece, look, you know, I'm a tapper as well, but I deliberately have made the choice to mix up some of those taps with cash because I don't want to see a cashless society. I want to see a mix of cash and tapping. So that's, you know, and my argument is that if people want to keep cash, if they don't want to see a cashless society go by the wayside, we all have to start using it.
Isn't it interesting, you know, because this is, we have a gentleman called Roger Ward who keeps us up to date with banks and what they're getting up to. And sadly, people in country towns are losing their banks. I mean, pell-mell, it's happening all over the place. And not only that, but they can't get access to cash because the holes in the wall are being withdrawn as well. And this is all without going to the general public saying, this is what we intend to do. It's seemingly by stealth, particularly with the ATMs.
Yeah, and it's also happening in Brisbane, not to the same extent, John, as regional and rural Queensland, but it is happening in Brisbane, where long-standing banks that have been there for decades and decades in suburbs are disappearing. Now, if you're an elderly person who might only get out once in a while to, and you know, you have to take an expensive Uber or cab to go to the next suburb or the suburb after just to get cash out, as I wrote in the piece, a lot of older people don't have access to internet technology, or if they do, they don't trust it. And lots of people just don't like credit cards. You know, people like to have cash. They don't, you know, some people in a generation that don't trust credit. This is the problem. And Andrew G, who is the author of the bill that's before Parliament, and Bob Catter, who's supporting it, you know, their point is that, we live in a country where we have very few banks, but they hold disproportionate economic and political power. And it's wrong that they are more or less setting the rules of cashless transactions. And as you say, we're not, you know, the electorate, the constituencies, the people are not being consulted about it. So, you know, major economic decisions are being made and and it's sort of going under the radar.
Well, there's an arrogance to this that it almost makes me choke that they do this and believe it's their right to not only do it, get away with it, and they get really put out when people start pushing back.
Yes. And you know, the Australian Consumer Commission has found that, you know, because the Reserve Bank Act and other pieces of legislation haven't explicitly said people have to accept legal tender. They've said these things are legal tender, but the Act says you don't have to accept it because the Acts are quite old and you know, long before we even thought about, you know, electronic banking. So this is what Andrew G's bill, the independent member for Clare, former National Party member who's now sitting on the crossbench, he's drafted a bill, keep cash in Australia, and he's saying he wants to fine businesses up to $25,000 if they fail to accept a cash payment up to $10,000. It seems to be pretty popular. A lot of people are talking about this bill. Unfortunately, you know, the major parties don't like crossbenchers bringing bills across, so they probably won't get up. But hopefully it'll stimulate enough debate in the major parties, the backbenchers in those major parties, to say we need to do something about it. In the same way when listeners will remember when there were mutterings around the banking industry and the major party says, oh, we don't need to worry about that. But you saw crossbenchers and outliers in the major parties, including the former member for Dawson, George Christensen, said, no, hang on, we need to look at this. And that's when the major parties sat up and did something. Hopefully this will be in the same ilk that the major parties, the leaders of the major parties, will say, well, this is a bit of a vote winner. We need to get onto this bandwagon.
Oh, thank God for the crossbenchers and the outliers, Sir Paul. This has been an excellent update. We'll stay in touch on this. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Isn't that great? I mean, having him as an ally for a start gives me hope, because he's fearless. That's Dr. Paul Williams, Associate Professor in Politics and Journalism at Griffith University.